Well, I tell you, this has been a great conference so far.
Amen.
And following after these preachers and this preaching kind of reminds me of an Indian that was sitting on the top of a mountain giving smoke signals to another Indian. And both of them didn't know that there was a railroad crew working in a ridge across the way, and all of a sudden a big charge of dynamite came up and this big old cloud of smoke come up in the air. And they just sat there and said, "Man, I wish I'd have said that." I want to thank the church and thank the pastor for having us. And we just praise the Lord for that and the special singing and all that's here. Let's go to the book of John, the Gospel of John, chapter 14. I am, as we're turning there, in my personal ministry, committed to simple or clear, practical expository preaching. I say clear because, you know, you can go out on the ocean, that blue water, and you can see so far down into such depth, it's so clear. Or you can go to a mud puddle. It's very shallow and stirred up, and you can't see the bottom of it. We're called to take the deep things of God to make them clear to Amen. God's people. And I know in my personal life of no greater way of doing that than the method of expository preaching. Amen, sir. Let us read here in John's Gospel. We're going to begin in verse 24. John 14, 24. "He that loveth me not keepeth not my saying. And the world which ye hear is not mine, but the Father which sent me. These things have I spoken unto you, being yet present with you. But the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things, and bring all things to your remembrance, whatsoever I have said unto you." Let's pause for a moment of prayer. Father, we just come to you, Lord. And Lord, how much of hypocrisy would be to preach about your Holy Spirit and not to pause and to ask for your Spirit. And so, Father, we just pray that your Spirit would come and do that work that only he can do.
Amen.
Father, I pray that for some you would encourage. And Father, for others you would comfort. For some of us you would instruct. And for some you would rebuke. How marvelous it is that while we preach one text, your Spirit can take it and apply each one of those to individual hearts as needed.
Amen.
And so, Father, we're needing you and we're depending on your Spirit. You said you'd give the Spirit to them that ask. And so, Father, we're asking, not for our sake, but for the glory of your Son.
Amen.
It's in his name and for his sake we ask. Amen.
Amen.
Many years ago, G. Campbell Morgan, who's one of my favorite Bible commentators, decided that he was going to go hear a revival preacher by the name of Gypsy Smith. Gypsy Smith was a famous and well-known in that time. But he was known as a very uneducated man, a very crude man in his preaching. And G. Campbell Morgan was a brilliant theologian. And he sat there and he was amazed at the depth of Gypsy Smith's preaching. And so he came up to Gypsy Smith after the preaching and he said, "I have never heard that verse preached in an exegetical way that was so clear to the hearer." Gypsy Smith said, I appreciate your comment, but may I ask you a question?" And he said, "What's that?" He said, "What's that word you used?" Mm-hmm. And he said, "Exegetical." And he goes, "What does that mean?" And he said, "Well, it means expository." Gypsy Smith had a look of confusion on his face, and Morgan knew that he didn't even know what that word meant. And so Morgan asked him, he said, "Let me ask you a question." He said, "Yeah. How do you get your sermons?" He said, "Well, I just get the Bible And if I feel that God has led me to a verse of Scripture, I read it and read it and I ask the Holy Spirit to tell me what it means. And then I read it again. And then I ask the Holy Spirit to tell, and I stay with it until I feel like the Holy Spirit has given me the meaning of the Scripture, and then I just go tell the people in a way that I can understand it.
Amen.
That is expository preaching.
Amen.
It is simply to bring forth the meaning of the text under the power of the Holy Spirit. And why I am so dedicated to this is because I pastor and I know a hurting people. They have burdens. They have heartache. They have sorrow. I look at you and many of you that I know that you have burdens. And I want to thank many of you for in this church who have prayed for me and coming to me about specific prayer requests. I'm not smart enough to teach people how to handle those burdens. I'm not wise enough to counsel people and how to deal with the hardships of life. But I know that the Holy Spirit, through the preaching of the Word of God,
Amen,
can lift burdens, can encourage people, can rebuke people, can do whatever is needed. And that's why I'm so dedicated to simply preaching what God said. Because I'm quite not smart enough to understand how to help people in what they need. Now, here to our text. In John chapter 14, we're in the upper room. The Lord has instituted that he has observed the Passover. He dismisses Judas, I believe, and then institutes the Lord's Supper.
Amen.
We have 11 disciples here. And he is telling them that he is going to go away. And he is giving them these great promises in chapter 14 that runs all the way through chapter 16. He says, I'm going away, but I am going to give you all of heaven's resources. From the time of the apostles till the time that our Lord comes again, he has given us these promises. He tells them that he's given them the promise of heaven. Let not your heart be troubled. If you believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I wouldn't have told you. And then he tells us that he is going to prepare a place for us. And then he gives us the great promise of his return. And if I go and prepare a place for you, what? I will come again that where I am, there you may be also. He continues with these great promises of heaven. And he tells them about the great promise of prayer. In verse 14, he tells them of this great promise of prayer. He tells them, if ye shall ask anything in my name, I will do it. And so while he's gone into heaven, if we ask according to his will and by his name, we have this great resource of prayer. And he continues on. Then he goes into a while of talking about obedience. But then he gives us the promise of the Spirit. And look with me here in verse 15 as we set this stage. He says, if you love me, keep my commandments. And I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another. Now, this word another is a very important word to understand this passage. The word literally means another just like me. And so he said, I am going to give you another just like me. Don't worry, I'm leaving, but the Father is going to send you one just like I am. And so he goes on, and then he tells us, he says, I shall give you another, the Comforter. And we know this word means paraclete, one that goes beside, one that is with us, that he may abide with you forever. Thank the Lord that when we're saved by the Spirit of God, we're kept by the Spirit of God.
Amen.
Even the Spirit of truth. I love that. Even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth him not. Neither knoweth him, but ye know him. For he dwelleth with you and shall be in you. And then I love verse 18. I will not leave you orphans. That word comfortless literally is the word orphanos in the Greek, which means an orphan. I will not leave you an orphan.
Amen.
I'm leaving, but I'm sending another just like you, that when you're in this present time, you won't be an orphan. You will have one that will go with you. I will come to you. And so we see here that Jesus, he came to do what? To preach the truth, to teach the truth, to show the truth. And the Bible tells us that he is, here in this chapter, I am the truth. I am the way, the truth. He not only taught us truth, he is truth. He is the expression of the Father. He is the Word of God. You know, words are an expression. Words are the vehicle in which the train of thought goes along. And God wanted to express to us all that he is and all that he ever will be. He has taught us and expressed to us in Jesus Christ. All that Jesus is. That's why Jesus could say, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. And so Jesus came to teach truth. And he said, don't worry, I'm not going to leave you an orphan. When I leave, I am going to bring to you the Spirit. The Father will send you the Spirit of truth.
Amen.
Just like the Father sent Jesus. He was sent of God. He was commissioned of God. I do not my own will, but the will of him that sent me. And the same way, the Spirit of God is sent by the Father for the work of God. And we just thank God that the Spirit of truth has come that the world cannot see. This world needs truth.
Amen.
This world is dying in the darkness of satanic control, and they're dying in the kingdom of darkness. And we have, through the Word of God, the illuminating light. To illuminate simply means to shed light. And we have the illuminating power of the Word of God that we can send light. I love that old gospel song, Send the Light.
Amen.
The blessed gospel light. Let it shine from shore to shore. And so we have here the Word of God. And so he comes down. Now let's get into our particular text that we're dealing with. He comes down in verse 24 and he tells them the origin of truth. He that loveth me not, my sayings, the world which here is not mine, heareth me is not mine, but the Father which sent me. And so the truth of God, verse 25, these things have I spoken unto you. What things? The things that the Father sent him to speak, being yet present with you. And so the Bible here, he is saying this truth that he has given is from God. It's from the Father. Brother Jackson, Wallace York taught us that the Bible was not written to teach men what they can teach themselves. The Bible was written to teach men what they cannot teach themselves. You know, it answers the questions that men cannot answer. Now, creation will teach you that there is a God, but only the Scripture tells you who that God is. Only the truth of God's word not only tells you who that God is, but tells you what he requires of you. It not only tells you what he requires of us, but what his nature is. The Old Testament, you know, the law is perfect and the law is holy. You know, and the law reveals to us the holiness of God.
Amen.
And the law teaches us who God is. How did we get here? What is our destiny? What does this Creator require of us? This is divine truth. The Bible doesn't teach us every truth. Doesn't teach us mathematics or certain things of medicine or science. Why? Because the Bible is not written to teach men what they can teach themselves.
Amen.
It's written to teach us what we cannot teach ourselves.
Amen.
And what this world is ever learning, but they're never coming to the knowledge of divine truth, because they do not have the illuminating power of the Spirit of God. And so they continue groping in the darkness. But God has given us truth. He is the origin of truth. And Jesus came to teach us that truth. And the purpose of sending Christ to this earth is that we might know who God is. That is salvation. Jesus said in verses 6 and 7, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh to the Father but by me. Then he tells us that great declaration in John chapter 17. He defines salvation. He said, Father, the hour is come. Glorify thy Son, that thy Son may also glorify thee, as thou hast given him power, authority over all flesh, to give eternal life to as many as thou hast given him. Now here it is. This is life eternal, that they may know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom thou hast sent. The divine revelation of truth is in the person of Jesus Christ. Amen. That's why Paul said in Colossians, he's the fullness of the Godhead bodily or in a body. And so he came to reveal divine truth. And the truth that he came to reveal is the origin. It comes from God. Now, we know that the Bible is broke down into two testaments. We have an Old Testament, we have a New Testament. Brother Sled, Larry Robbins said it, but it gives us two testaments, two other testaments. Preacher, brethren, he taught us this. If you're ever in one of those difficult passages, you can always know that the Bible points to one or both of these truths. God is completely holy. Amen. And man is not. Every passage of Scripture teaches us God, it either points to the holiness of God or the depravity of man. Yeah. Or both. And so this divine truth that Jesus came to give us is about God. He wanted to show the way to the Father, but he said, I'm leaving. I've shown you the Father, but I'm not going to leave you without one that is sent like me, who will lead you to the Father. And we find that the world, as we said, is groping in darkness. And the world is under satanic control. But God has given the word of truth, as the psalmist said, like a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our pathway. In this present age, which the word world here means present age, where the world as a whole is under darkness and satanic control. And they don't want truth. You know, when our Lord comes, receives that bride he sung about, do you know that in Zechariah chapter 8, that the Bible describes, chapter 8 verse 3, the Bible describes the New Jerusalem as the city of truth, or truth city. One day we'll, can you imagine that? All of us will be around and studying truth and will love truth. Right. Now, Jesus did not leave without the promise of truth. Jesus taught it, he lived it, and he continues in it. We see here in verse 25 of our text that where we're at, he says, these things have I spoken unto you, being yet present with you. He did not leave them without the promise of truth. We find here the resource that he gives us of truth in verse 26. Verse 26. But the comforter, that one, as we said, that would go beside, that would go with us. But the comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send. And we notice that he's commissioned just like Christ. The Father sent him just like Christ to show us truth, to teach us truth, the Spirit of truth. He will send in what? My name. He will send in the name of Christ. We read back the promise that of prayer. If you ask anything in my name. Now, it's not magical words. We just don't tag in Jesus' name at the end of a sermon or at the end of a prayer, rather, and that just means it's going to come true. It's not naming or claiming. When you are praying in his name, it simply means according to his will. And the Holy Spirit has come to do the will of Christ and the will of the Father. And that's what? To glorify Jesus Christ. You know, that's one reason that just blows a hole in charismaticism. And there's scriptures here in John that the Holy Spirit, when he comes, he will not testify of himself, but he will testify of me. The Spirit's job is to come and to glorify Christ. Why? Because God has decided that the image of truth is Jesus Christ. God has said, all that I want you to know about me and myself is deposited, is seen in the person of Christ. And so the Holy Spirit has come to do the will of Jesus Christ, to glorify him, to teach him, to teach about him. He shall teach you all things, it goes on, which the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things. And he will bring all things to your remembrance. In it, as we go through the book of Acts, we find several occasions where the apostles were faced with adversity, and then all of a sudden they make this statement, and I remembered the words of our Lord. Even Paul said, and I remember the words of our Lord. It is more blessed to give than to receive.
Amen.
One of the great evidences of inspiration is if you look at the dates of when the Gospels were written, they were written many years after the actual account of when they actually happened. And yet these different men wrote the Gospels, and boy, they're just in harmony with each other. And they remembered these things. Man, it's hard for me to remember what I did yesterday.
Yeah.
It's so easy to forget. One thing that I've learned and I've changed in my outlining is when I started outlining, I would say a little illustration, I handwrite it, and then I would just put a little caption line, and I would remember what that story meant. I go back through sermon outlines, and I'm like, now what was I saying? I can't remember that story. And so now I write out the illustration. Why? Because I may have just preached it last year, and I go, what's the joke? And I'll write a little thing that reminds me, and I go, no, I can't remember what that joke's about. I don't have a clue. I can't remember. The Spirit of God, he said he would cause them to remember all things that Christ had said to them. Now, this is the promise of inspiration. That God would inspire the writers, that they would write the Word of God, and that every word was inspired of God, was breathed of God. Now, he used the personality of the author. He used the vocabulary of the author. He used every preacher preaches a little different. We have it a little different way. We were talking last night. Wouldn't it be interesting? It was Brother Schultz and Brother Cogger and Brother Tom. And we were saying, wouldn't it be interesting if all three of us were given the exact same text, how we, even though we were trying to find the meaning, how we would outline it, how we would bring forth that truth. Why? Because everyone does it a little different. And yet, it's still the same truth. We might get there a little different, but it's still the same truth. And when we read through the Bible, we see men that were farmers that were inspired. We see men that were fishermen that were inspired. We see God inspiring men of very little education and men of great education and everything in between. Why? Because it's not about the author's individual. It's about the author. I love the book of Hebrews, because in the book of Hebrews, we really don't know who the human author is. We really don't. We may think we might have a clue, but we don't. And he didn't want it to be that way. And when the writer of Hebrews quotes the Old Testament, he never says, David said in the Psalms. He always points at the Lord said in the Psalms. Because all truth is given by God. Through inspiration, the writer is just the human instrument.
Amen.
Yeah. Many people doubt inspiration because of that. But yet, that is a great proof of inspiration. Well, how could God use marred human vessels to come up with a divinely perfect book? The same way he could use the human Mary to carry the divine Son of God.
Amen.
God has chosen to use men to write the Word of God. And he gives this great promise of inspiration. And because of this promise of inspiration in verse 26, and make no doubt about it, that's what this verse is talking about. Because of that, we have the promise of illumination. I'll explain it like this. This verse 26, this promise of inspiration, was not given to me. It was given to Matthew and the other apostles. The Bible was not written to me. It was written for me.
Amen.
And you can only rightly divide the word of truth when you make the difference between what is written to them, and from that you can derive what's for me. And because the words of God are inspired, then I have the promise that as I read the inspired words of the apostles, that God will illuminate my understanding. You know, God has promised not to bless my word or any other preacher's word, but his word.
Yeah. That's right.
I have said in church, and I have heard preachers just read a passage of scripture, and a light bulb went off in my head, and I said, I finally got that. I finally understand that verse. Just by them reading that verse of scripture. Because the Holy Spirit said, now it's time for you to understand this. And the great thing about preaching is as long as we continue in it, God is still illuminating us. I remember as a young preacher, I heard one of the last sermons that H.H. Overby preached. And he stood up there and he was in Genesis chapter 1. And the man had preached for many years, over 50 years. And he looked at us and he said, I've been preaching this passage of scripture for 50 years and studying for 50 years. He said, but God just gave me this thought and this thing. And he looked out and he said, you young preachers ought to be happy. It didn't take you 50 years to figure that out. But he does that when we go to the Word of God. And we read it. We said at Brother Jackson's, we preached for him Wednesday night. Too many times we go to the Word of God as students of God's Word to prove ourselves right.
Yes.
And we miss the Holy Spirit's intent.
Right.
If we read the Word of God through the eyes of worshiping Christ, he'll reveal things to us that we haven't seen before.
Amen.
And that's why the Word of God was given. He's in every page. He's on every book. He's there, Jesus Christ. We love how, and one has already mentioned it on the road to Emmaus, that the Lord took those disciples and he was encouraging them. And then he started with beginning with Moses, the first five books of the Bible, and through all the prophets, he expounded the scriptures concerning himself. And the Bible says their eyes were open.
Yeah.
Well, that's the Spirit's work, that he would open our eyes. That he would open our eyes to the Word of God. The promises of inspiration gives us the promise of regeneration. Now, there's a big difference in knowing something intellectually and truly knowing it. I'll give this. I got to move quick. 19 years old, preacher's son. I knew the five points of Calvin. I knew the trail of blood. I had the books. My mom made us memorize the books of the Bible. I don't know if I memorized now, but I had the books of the Bible memorized, and I was a professor of Jesus Christ. And one night, Herschel York was preaching, and the Spirit of God came and made me a possessor of Jesus Christ.
Yes. Wow.
Amen. And changed my life.
Amen.
And gave me the Spirit of God. And it went from being a head knowledge to a heart knowledge.
Yes.
One preacher up in Kentucky says a lot of people miss heaven by 18 inches. That's the difference in the head and the heart. And so we became the promise of inspiration gives us the promise of regeneration. It gives us the promise of illumination, of understanding the Word of God. The sword of the Spirit, the promise of inspiration. The Holy Spirit. Now in these last few minutes, I want to say why I am so committed to teaching the way that I teach. And we'll close. First of all, expository preaching trusts in the intended meaning of the Spirit.
Yes.
You can have great boldness when you preach the text as it is and know that the Holy Spirit of God is going to do its work when you preach His intent. That it goes out and accomplishes that which He intends it to accomplish. Expository preaching not only trusts the intent of the Spirit, but it trusts the structure. You know, the Bible teaches, you know, not only is the words inspired, but the order of the words are inspired. And I've said to a couple brethren this week, God didn't give us the book of doctrines and the book of typology and the book of the second coming and the book of application. He gave us 66 individual books with 66 different contexts that give us all of that. And that's how he wrote it. By the Spirit of God moved them, led them to write it that way. And so I just want to follow the moving of that Spirit. And when we move through the way that Spirit does, then we find the balance of God's Word. Because we all have certain subjects we love more than others. And when we go that way, it gives us a balance. Now, you know, several years ago, a couple years back, about 3 years ago, I went into the hospital. I got pancreatitis. And you know why I got that? Too many carbs. My triglycerides went through the ceiling. I ate biscuits and gravy every morning for breakfast. I love greasy cheeseburgers and french fries for lunch. You know, I didn't gain weight. I wasn't real overweight, so I figured I'm fine. I had energy, and I went, and you didn't go to the doctor unless you were really bad off. You know, I mean, when I grew up, if you broke your arm, Dad'd be, I rub dirt in, you'd be all right in the morning, we'd take you, you know. So you didn't go to the doctor unless something seriously was wrong. And then all of a sudden, my stomach was hurting so bad, and I went there, and they said, your problem is you eat too many carbs. Your triglycerides about to kill you. Literally, ICU for a month. If God said something once, it's true. But if he says it over and over and over and over again, it's because he wants us to hear it over and over and over and over again. So it's not only when you preach the structure of the Word of God, you're preaching the intent of the Word of God, you're preaching the portions of the Word of God. Because some things are better than other things. When we follow the structure, we can trust in the timing of the Holy Spirit.
Yes, preach right there.
Now, I could give a lot of illustrations over a lot of years, and so could any man that's preached expository preaching for any amount of time. But let's stay in the recent day. Let's just stay right now. We preached last weekend for Sovereign Grace down there, but the weekend before that, we're preaching through the book of Philippians on Sunday morning, and that morning we preached, be careful or anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication, let your requests be known to God. We've got a dear sister in our church, Addie Lutz. She's got half the church. It is related to Addie. Her children are represent half our church. That week, they put a feeding tube in Addie and put a respirator on her. And I looked out at my people as they came in, and you could tell they just tore up.
Yeah.
They needed to hear a message from God.
Yeah.
And when I stood up and said, our scripture, the next scripture is, be anxious for nothing, but by prayer and supplication. They didn't hear Brother Rob trying to comfort them. They heard God's timing.
Yes, amen. That's right. Exactly right. Amen.
Now, a few weeks, and it works in a lot of ways. A few weeks past that, we had our primaries in Kentucky. And I between Sunday school, I went out on the front porch. I heard a ruckus. And I had three or four men over here on the Cruz side, and I had three or four men over here on the Trump side. And in Kentucky, they know how to settle a feud. And son, oh my goodness. I mean, they was mad at each other. The Cruz people were calling them idolaters, and the Trump people were calling them idiots. And I mean, we about ready to have a fight break out. I said, brethren, let's get inside. They said, well, can you settle this? I said, I'm not going to settle nothing. And that day we're preaching through Philippians, and I preached, I beseech you, Euodias, Syntyche, that you be of the same mind in the Lord. And so when I left, they came out, and this is what they said. God settled it today, didn't he? God settled it today. I have had years of experiences like that. It's almost every week, and I have people that come that week after week that say, Brother Rob, we're just waiting to hear what God's going to say to me today. It takes me as far out of the picture as I can, and it puts it all on him. And I tell people, we do it on Sunday morning. I preach through books on Sunday morning because if that's going to be the focus of my ministry, that's when I've got the biggest group. It's Sunday mornings. And so we preach it on Sunday mornings. And that's when people need to hear the word of God. And I told him, if you think this is boring, this isn't the church for you. I'm here to proclaim the word of God. If you want to learn what God says, if you want to hear what he says, not my opinion, not my politics, not my soap boxes, but what the Lord says, then you come in here verse by verse preaching God's word. Because it comforts hearts when they need comforted. And it rebukes people when they need rebuke. And God's on his throne. And he sent his spirit to do the work through the Holy Spirit to illuminate our minds.
Amen.
And the best way for me to do that, that I found, is just go one line at a time.
Amen.
I do like the catchphrase that John MacArthur says, unleashing God's truth one verse at a time. I like that. And that's what we're trying to do. Just one verse at a time. What's the next verse? And you know what? It gives great boldness.
Yes, it does.
They can't come up and say, oh, brother, you're just picking on me.
Right.
I know there's a problem in the church. I know there's something going on. And boy, the Lord's given me this scripture. I can get up there and preach it hot and heavy. I can preach it with conviction and power. Because I know that it's the word of God doing the rebuking. And they know it too. But boy, if it was just me saying, man, I got to address this. This is the topic I got to do. I'd be a little scared, especially with some of the people I pastor. I'd be a lot scared. And because they know, you know. But I don't have to be. I believe in preaching the emotion of the text.
Amen.
Yes. Don't preach on hell with a smile and heaven with a frown.
Yeah, right.
Preach the word. Elder D.J. Ward, one of my favorite preachers, gone on with the Lord. He said, preaching's like gravy to a meal. It adds the flavor. But the best gravy comes from the juices of the meat. So cook the meat, and the gravy will take care of itself.
Yes,
teach the text, and the preaching will come out.
Amen.
Amen.
Nothing tastes, and he goes on and says, nothing tastes more fake than ready mixed gravy.
Amen.
So we just teach and we preach. And we add it to the text. I love this old song, and the Pentecostals have stolen it from us. Baptists don't sing it like we used to. But it's called The Comforter Has Come.
Mm-hmm.
And it says, I'll read it. Because I want to. It says, oh, spread the tidings round. Wherever man is found, wherever human heart and human's woes abound. Listen, let every Christian tongue proclaim the joyful sound. The Comforter has come.
Amen.
The Holy Ghost from heaven, the Father's promise given. He goes on. He says, lo, the great King of Kings, with healing in his wings, to every captive soul a full deliverance bring. And through the vacant cells, the song of triumph rings. The Comforter has come. Now, I said it for this. This is the line I want you to hear. O boundless love divine, how shall this tongue of mine to wandering mortals tell the matchless grace divine.
Amen.
That I, a child of hell, should in his image sign, the Comforter has come.
Amen.
Our Lord said, but the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance, whatsoever I have said unto you. Peace I leave with you, my peace I give unto you. Not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid.
Amen.
Brother Kai.